All right, guys, welcome back to another edition of This Week in College Football, brought to you by CFB Talk Daily. Today is Thursday, July 16th. Obviously, there hasn't been too much good news for college football. There's been some all right news. The first thing we're going to talk about is some all right news. Some conferences, notably the Big Ten, have already announced they are going to just play conference games. So the biggest one off top of my head that we can cross off the schedule will be Oregon. Ohio State will not be played this year. John told me that I believe Oregon replaced that game with Utah. Is that correct?
Yep.
So we talked about this on our own. The impact that this has. I know a lot of the debate was, if the ACC. If every conference decides to do this, at least in the Power Fives, where that leaves Notre Dame. And I think we came to a pretty unanimous decision that we believe that the ACC will make an exception for Notre Dame this year, or at least I do, at least. What do you think about that? Let's see if we agree.
I think Notre Dame, the ACC actually came out and said that they'd accommodate Notre Dame. So I think they're going to. I'm not really sure how it's going to fit. If I'm Clemson and the ACC tries to add Notre Dame to my schedule, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it. I don't want to play them. Notre Dame isn't – I'm pretty adamant they're not a top five school, but they are a top 10 program. And if Notre Dame can have – Clemson probably doesn't want to add another tough game to their schedule. It's not
yeah, and, like, something, like, to even think about, like, you split home and away in conference. Like, what are they going to do? Like, are they going to be added to the ACC for a year and now Clemson's going to have to go play them? Like, is that, something like that? Is Notre Dame not going to play a home game this year? And I don't see that happening.
Yeah, because, no one's going to want to go to Notre Dame and play a game. No way.
See, now,
I'd be like, no.
And, for me, everyone's been saying for a couple years now that, they should go into the ACC because they already play an ACC schedule. Where I think geographically Notre Dame fits better into the Big Ten. So for a one-year thing, I think geographically maybe if the Big Ten would possibly add them, maybe that'd be a little better.
Yeah, I just think that the ACC, I feel like they're a weird fit. And they're a weird fit in the Big Ten too, to be honest. Because geographically they fit better in the Big Ten, but the Big Ten is already so loaded. I don't think they want to add Notre Dame.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that the Big Ten's already a better conference than the ACC. I just think that the thing they want to limit is travel. And I think that South Bend to a lot of these schools in the Big Ten is either not a flight or it's a long bus ride or it's a small charter flight.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of Big Ten teams would be very against it.
And obviously, there's really only two big trips that South Bend would have to make, and that'd be either three, really. Either to Penn State, Rutgers, or Maryland, but that's going to be every trip for the ACC for the most part.
Yeah, but they already do it for basketball, so it's not like they're against doing it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just think that right now they really want to cut down on travel to, travel across country on the planes. I'm looking right now, they're literally probably an hour from. If I'm reading this correctly, they're probably an hour away from Evanston, which is Northwestern, I think, is in Evanston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. No, so definitely, they're in a weird spot. This all can be avoided if they ever just joined a conference a long time ago, but here nor there.
This debate's going to come up again. We've talked about it, but Notre Dame's in a very weird spot for being an independent and being a predominant college football brand.
Oh, so here, while we're on this, this actually just reminded me, what about BYU?
Yeah, BYU, because BYU, they're not at the same tier of Notre Dame, but BYU is a good football team. We saw last
they're
year.
They're good at West.
Throw them in the Mountain West.
With a pack.
Yeah, either one, really.
They're not bad. They can fit. They're a geographical fit for both.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
Yeah, all these teams are independent. We really don't have to help UConn. It's whatever with them.
They did it to themselves. Talk about a bad year to go independent.
Yeah.
All right, so now our next topic here, before we go into the downfall of football and the grim topic we're going to have to talk about, we're going to talk about three coaches we think that could beat Joey Chestnut in a hot dog eating contest. Or give him a challenge, not beat him. We're going to do it snake draft style. This went poorly last time. We're going to try it again.
Every time we do Snake John doesn't understand the snake, how it works. So we'll see if he does it again.
All right. So who's going first?
I'll let you start it.
All right. Well, obviously, I'm taking the guy from the Bayou, Coach O. I think he'd be everyone's number one pick here. Listen, that man can do whatever he puts his mind to. He'll give himself a pep talk. Coach, you eat these hot dogs. And then he's going to eat the hot dog.
All right. So my first one, it's going to be a little controversial because he's not a current coach.
What?
Yeah, listen, this is the clear choice, though, for me. You asked me this question. This is a clear choice. I have to go Charlie Wise. I mean, he is
where's
a
he coach
big
at?
Man. Well, currently, he doesn't. He's been at Notre Dame, and he was at Kansas. So, but he's, you know, he's his son coaches. So there's the bloodline. So I'm taking it. Yeah, I'm going to choose Charlie Wise Jr. And he's going to say, I can't do it. My health is concerned. I'm going to give it to my dad. So he's going to sub in his dad, and he's going to do that. I actually think that Charlie Wise Sr. like could put up some like serious numbers. Mm-hmm. So my second, because this is a snake, John, remember, I get to go twice.
Uh-huh.
My second coach, kind of, again, controversial. He's been in the news this week. Steve Sarkisian just had open heart surgery, so he's not going to be doing this right now. But I think old Steve Sarkisian, the one who had a little bit of a drinking problem, could get drunk enough to force himself to eat a ton of hot dogs.
He convinced himself that he's the Grizzly Gladiator.
Like he could down a bunch of beer or whatever his drink of choice was and be like, wow, I could probably eat 80 hot dogs in the next 10 minutes. And I think he could do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good one. All right, so now my next one. Now, this one you probably didn't expect coming. Former Michigan coach, current, I believe, San Diego State head coach, Brady Hoke. Let me tell you, Brady Hoke could put away some hot dogs. Like, I'm just imagining. I mean, think of his 4th of July party, Brady Hoke. Him, probably a bunch of linemen. There's easily 100 hot dogs.
I forgot about Brady Hoke.
Yeah,
so up again, John.
I know. So I thought you had a comment after that.
No.
I already have the next one. All right, so my next one, because I want to keep it head coaches. There's not a lot of offensive linemen head coaches, but Oregon does have one, Mario Cristobal. He used to be like 300 pounds. I feel like if you gave him an offseason to get back to that, he might be able to roll some hot dogs away.
Okay, I can see that. He's a big O-line guy. You know, he's going to hang out in the trenches with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this last, my last coach, he's at Western Michigan right now, I believe. We'll bring him back, Jim McElwain.
Okay.
He seems like a pretty out there guy. There was the picture of him taken on the boat with the shark. Allegedly, him and the shark. He was like butt naked, cuddling a shark. It's a pretty weird thing to do. He's also not the slim guy. Like, he's got some meat to him. I think that he's the kind of person in my eyes is just like weird enough to be like, oh, eat 80 hot dogs in the next 10 minutes? Like, all right. And then just, like, down some dogs.
I agree. That's a good one. So, just so I get this, yours was Charlie Weiss, Steve Sarkisian, and McElwain?
Yep.
All right.
Those are my guys. And I think, like, if we did a 3-on-3, I still think my guys are coming out on top.
Well, that's good, because I made a poll.
Yeah, I think my guys are going to win. I would go to battle with my guys.
I can't blame you. I like it. All right, so now let's move on to the grim reality that we are facing. Will we have a football season?
This is bad. This is very, very bad.
It's like, I wanted to address this real quick. We said we were going to address it, and then I forgot. So obviously this time of year, me and John have released, and Mike have released our college football, the conference previews. Obviously, we have not done that yet. We addressed that we were going to start doing it. The reason we haven't done it yet is because so much changes week to week, more like day to day, actually, where, you know, if we had already done our Big Ten previews, we would have had, you know, 11 or 12 games in for Ohio State, and now they're only going to play conference games. You know, we would have had to weigh in the Oregon game to not only Ohio State's schedule, but Oregon's schedule, and we would have had to double back. We would have had to take a lot of, so we're going to wait until we see what's going on before we actually start doing this. Because like I said, you know, it might seem like, you know, you can sit down and look at a schedule and say win, loss, win, loss, win, 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 you know, But you know, we do it, you know, we go in really hardcore. I mean, I know, you know, me and John take a couple hours out of our day to do it. So we don't want to put in, you know, 10 hours into a conference just to have a bunch of games taken off. So we're going to wait until we have an official wording on what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I couldn't have said it better myself. I don't want to waste all that time to do it. I enjoy doing them, but I don't want to do them for no reason.
Exactly, yeah. And it's just like, yeah, it'd be like, all right, like Ohio State, they played three out of conference games, we're not playing them, let's just take them off. Like, yeah, but then we got to go back into the teams they played and take them off there. And it's just a big domino effect. So we're going to wait to see what happens.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so now what I do want to talk about is now I'm going to go out on a hot seat and say we will have a football season. No fans, probably a few canceled games. I know most people are going to say no, but I think that schools will lose too much money and that I don't think we should have one. I think it's a little too dangerous, and I hate to even say that. But I think we're going to end up having some sort of football season, whether it's in the fall or spring.
I would agree. I think that I might even go on a whim and say that they would push it to the spring because of the fact that they do need some kind of fan revenue. They need ticket sales. And I think if they can sit down and say, all right, we can have one in the fall with no fans, or we're 85% sure that we can have one in the spring with fans, I think they're going to take, you know, plan B on that and go to having fans. And I don't think you're going to be in a situation where you're going to be competing against other sports, because really, in the spring, even outside of collegiate, you're really going to be competing with MLB. And yeah, I'm a big MLB fan, and I've even said, you know, on a Saturday, I'm still going to sit down and watch college football rather than Major League Baseball.
Yeah, me too. I don't watch baseball, though, so my opinion's not relevant there.
Yeah, but, you know, like in the spring, like, I sit and I watch 80% of Yankee games because, you know, it's where I'm a huge Yankee fan. And, I you know, my buddies were all baseball fans, but I'm almost confident that me and my friends would rather sit and watch three college football games on, you know, at one time at the 12 o'clock slot than watch, you know, a baseball game. That's just who I am. And I think most people who are sports fans and watch casually are going to say the same thing. So I think that having it in the spring, they would be okay with that. I think they're still going to get views. They're still going to get people going to games. The weather would be nicer. Yeah, they would just have to figure out how they're going to impact onto the next season, what they're going to do with that.
Yeah. All right. So my last topic here before we wrap this up, before we bring in our guest, Coach Jim Robertson, FDU, great, great guest we had on. I want to talk about what happens to Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, guys like that, Penei Sewell. Projected top 10 picks. Do they play in the spring if there's a spring season? I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, well, the spring season would still be, depending on how the outline was, it would still be before the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some of these guys, like, I don't think top, like, if they go and can get a mock draft and say, like, all right, like, Trevor Lawrence, you're, you know, regardless if you play, you're going to be a top 10 pick. I don't see him playing.
Yeah, too dangerous.
But, you know, if there's guys who are looking like, what's the kid, Trey Lance? He's the guy at North Dakota State, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's looking to play his way, you know, getting some draft pick. You know, maybe he's trying to play himself into the first round. I haven't looked at any mocks or anything.
No, he's projected to be, like, late first. But if he's trying to solidify that first round ranking.
I mean, you know, the difference between late to mid first round is probably a couple $100,000. And especially
in the NFL.
If these guys aren't playing. You know, if Lawrence isn't playing, if Fields isn't playing, he can move himself up more. And especially if those guys are going, you know, there's going to be guys in the middle who won't play.
That's a good point.
So Trey Lance could possibly move himself up to being like an 11th pick in the draft.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. He has, because if there's no competition, he's going to look exponentially better than I compare him to.
Yeah, like he's not playing Oregon.
Yeah.
Which hurts his draft stock, because if he went out and performed well against Oregon, yeah, they're going to. It's going to shoot up his draft stock. But if he only plays 9 games or 10 games in conference, whatever conference that is, that's a good football conference. So if he goes out for 10 games and completely dominates, his draft stock is going to go up.
Yeah, you're right.
It's definitely an interesting point for guys like Lawrence and Fields. You know, what are those guys going to do? Like, you know, they're going to be put in a tough situation.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so I think now we can transition to our interview with Coach Jim Robertson, and then we'll catch you guys on the flip side.
All right, guys, we are here with Coach Jim Robertson from FDU. Thank you for joining us today, Coach.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Not a problem. I think it might be safe to say, is this your first media interview being the new head coach at FDU, or one of?
One of the first few, yeah. One of the first few. Officially got promoted to head coach a couple months ago, and then been full steam ahead since.
Yeah, well, full steam ahead is, I guess, as far as we could get before everything kind of went haywire, it seems. So you definitely had a different experience in your first season.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Being promoted to head coach officially in February, and then, you know, 3 or 4 weeks later, getting kicked off campus and haven't been back since. So definitely as a first-year head coach, hopefully this is the craziest thing that will ever come across my desk and within our program, but if we can get through this, we'll get through anything together.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see much crazier really coming across the desk, truthfully. I mean, I don't see another situation where things like this happen, but I mean, I guess this is kind of like an interesting topic to start off with, because you said you were really only, you know, I guess normal coaching for 3 to 4 weeks. So I assume that would include recruiting, you know, trying to get guys on campus. So, and obviously 3 weeks later, you guys were sent home, told to stay home. So I guess, can you kind of like walk us through that? Like how everything kind of changed in a blink of an eye, and especially, you know, being, you know, a new coach and you really didn't expect this to happen. Like how did things change? And, you know, how did you overcome this kind of?
Yeah. And the craziest thing is when we got kicked off campus, it was during spring break. So, you know, the week prior we were with our guys, and then that week during spring break, they were all gone. And then midweek it's boom, this hits. So we went from expecting our guys to come back and get right into spring ball. And we were in the heart of recruiting season, you know, for our program, that's right in prime time for the class of 2020. And now all of a sudden you're not allowed back on campus, and who knows when we'll see our guys again. And at first we were like, okay, you know, this might be a couple of weeks. This might affect spring ball. Maybe we'll have half of a spring ball. You know, we'll see what happens. And now, you know, fast forward multiple months later, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen. So definitely was crazy, especially in the midst of recruiting. But you have to find a way to make it work, which we did, and bring it in a great recruiting class. So excited to see what happens.
Yeah, and I know we've talked to a couple of people who we've been in contact with for a while, you know, at different levels at FBS, FCS, you know, different D1, 2, and 3 now. And, you know, they've been saying how they were kind of not giving too much information on the upcoming season and how it's going to play out. So I can only imagine, like, how much, you know, you and the staff are so, like, planned and coordinated. Like, I'm sure you guys had, like, a plan of action, what you guys were going to do, some kind of timeline. And then this all came in and really threw off the whole timeline. So you guys really had to adapt on a short notice.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You have to adapt and adjust on the fly, and still doing it on the fly, because it's such a fluid situation. As we all have seen, you know, our conference last week, the MAC, the Middle Atlantic Conference Division III level, they announced that we are going to have a season and we're going to play conference only. So for us, it's 8 games conference only. The season will start a little bit later. The first week of games will be September 18th, 19th. But, you know, at the same time, it's still so fluid that there's a ton of policy. There's a ton of procedures that we've gotten. There's a ton more that are still coming down the pipeline, and a ton of things that we're still working on daily to logistically figure it all out. So we're excited that they announced we are having a season from the conference standpoint and from our university. And at the same time, it's okay, now we need to figure out all the logistics of it and, you know, make sure we're as detailed as ever. To make sure it's successful.
For sure. I feel like I see a lot of people on Twitter who are like, oh, the coronavirus is going to spread through the conference. But like, I feel like conference only gives the conference a lot more of an oversight on what their members can do and making sure they're following protocols. So it really is safer in a way.
Yeah, I would say so. At the end of the day, again, there's a lot of things out of all of our control with this. But I think doing the conference only from multiple standpoints is it's going to be safer. From the first is just preparing for the season. Now we're going to have that longer resocialization period. You know, the NCAA came out with their guidelines, and now every institution in our conference can follow those guidelines. It's a multiple phase approach. You know, the first 14 days, you know, very limited. Then the next 14 days, you get bigger group practices. And then after those two phases, now you can get into your practices. So now you can safely re-socialize under those guidelines. And then at the same time, you also now have that competitiveness within the conference because you know everyone is going to follow these procedures. The timeline for everyone is going to be very consistent. So I think across the board from that standpoint, it's definitely much safer. And then also with travel and things along those lines, now you're not really having those overnight games because, again, within conference, you know, we don't really have many games that are so far away. We're in New Jersey. Most of our conference is Pennsylvania, and then there's one school down in the Baltimore area. So, you know, those are all day trips for everyone within the conference now. So I think there's a lot of ways that it's going to be much safer, you know, but we'll just take it one day at a time and follow everything that they tell us to do.
Mm-hmm. So another thing I wanted to touch on was just backtracking a little bit, talking about recruiting. How different is it now? Like, how are you like evaluating players and stuff? And, you know, how do you find kids to recruit without if there's no season or anything?
Yeah, that's one of the craziest things. And I guess luckily it's 2020, so technology nowadays and between social media, you can find kids on Twitter and all the other social media platforms. And then the other different recruiting services that are out there that luckily there's so much data online. And with Huddle, you could just search a kid and find his highlights right on Huddle there. So luckily, with all the technology, we're able to do it to some extent. And, you know, through Zoom and other things, we're able to have virtual visits. You know, like we have a big one coming up here in 2 weeks for the class of 2021. So fortunate we're able to do a lot of things like that with Zoom, FaceTime, social media. Whereas if this was 10 years ago, I don't know how a kid would have gotten recruited because a lot of this stuff wasn't around. So fortunate for the student athletes, most importantly, you know, again, hopefully they have a season, but you know, there's going to be some that may not, that they'll still have an opportunity to get recruited, whether it's at our level, whether it's D2, D1, whatever level it is, guys are going to have opportunities still because of all the technology.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, I can't imagine 10 years ago, they would have to write you a letter and, like, send you, like, a VSS tape.
Yeah.
Of, be like, Coach, please recruit me.
Yeah, and it really is crazy. It's crazy that, you know, a lot of these guys were counting on their senior season to put film, you know, out there for college coaches to see and evaluate. And a lot of guys were counting on summer camps and clinics, which now are few and far between. So, you know, it's really going to come down to, you know, getting to know guys, you know, via whatever platforms you're using and, you know, coaches being relentless. And at the same time, the student athletes as recruits being relentless of, hey, you got to reach out to all these coaches, reach out to however many you can every day. And the ones that are interested will get back to you. And if they don't get back to you, keep reaching out because you never know when they will get back to you. So I think it's just how relentless our programs and the recruits going to be on both ends.
Yeah, I think another thing on recruiting, since we're talking about it, is that, you know, you see a lot of guys from in high school, especially from their junior to senior year. You know, they grow another 4 inches or they put on 25 pounds of muscle in that off season of lifting. So if the high school kids don't have a season or it's even, you know, a very small season, let's say it's, you know, 5 games and it's the closest 5 teams or whatever. Cause I saw the NJSIAA was talking about doing something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Now I think it's going to be a weird situation for a lot of schools because you don't have, you know, 11 games to evaluate a kid's change. Like, all right, you know, he was 5'11" his junior year, but now he's 6'3", but I don't know how he's going to play at 6'3". You know, and you see a lot of kids grow. So I think we might see a lot of situations at every level of college where, you know, schools are either banking on a kid growing into his body, and you might see a lot of kids who, you know, maybe have filled out a little more and you're recruiting a kid to play a different position but his size now. And I think that things are going to be strange for probably another 2 years even after this happens.
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially like you said, a lot of those late bloomers and whatever level they might project at, whether it's D1 through D3, junior college, whatever it might be. But I think there's going to be colleges that are going to maybe take chances on some guys because maybe they had that growth spurt, even though they didn't have the film out there for us to evaluate. So I think it's definitely going to be interesting, like you said, for the next, you know, 2 years or so to see, you know, how all of it pans out from the recruiting perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I that's something I just thought of right now because we were just talking about it. I was just like, man, you're going to see a lot of kids, you know, maybe kids 5'8", you know, 5'10" in high school playing corner, but he grows to 6'2" over the summer. You know, now you're not going to, you know, corner 6'2", he might be a little big, you know, got to rely on his hips, you know. you really don't know what's going to come from that if you haven't seen him play corner in high school at that size.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
So my last question about recruiting before we start talking a little more program specific for you is so with social media recruiting, just we have a lot of like kids who listen to our podcast. So like, what are some red flags that as a coach you see that maybe makes you not want to recruit a kid?
That's a great question. And social media is a great platform for us. And I'm a huge advocate of it. And I'm very, very active on it, you know, building our brand as an FDU football program. And we use it a lot in recruiting, looking at, you know, guys' profiles, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, whatever other platform you want to look at. And again, there's a lot of things that could put up red flags, you know, about the character of a person. You know, we tell our players all the time, we'll tell recruits that we're talking to, anything that you like, retweet, comment on, that's who you are. You know, that's your character. You're liking it, you're retweeting it, so you're endorsing that. So, you know, whatever it might be, it could be, you know, lyrics in a song, it could be retweeting or liking whatever. But that's who you are, you know. And for us as a program, you know, having great character and having core values, that's super important to us as a program to have that culture and have that foundation. So if we see, you know, a recruit that's, you know, not acting in line with what we want as a program on social media, you know, that's definitely a recruit that we're not going to recruit anymore. And I can probably say that for most programs in America, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. I mean, it's different from our standpoints on the each side of the computer. Like you as a coach, you're seeing that. You see a kid tweet something you don't like. It's all right, you know. I'm not going to recruit this kid. We're on to the next guy. I mean, but for us, you know, we're so engaged in like seeing what these kids are up to, and especially, you know, we see a kid tweet something. We talked to Mike Farrell over at Rivals a couple months ago, mm-hmm. and he said it's almost like being working for National Geographic and watching like a tiger maul animal. Like you're seeing something bad happen. But you have to report on it because that's, you know, that's what we do. So, I mean, we see it all the time with kids. And if it's someone that we've spoken to a few times, you know, we talk to a lot of kids, we're like, hey, like, maybe you shouldn't put that out there. You know, maybe this isn't a good look for you.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, we see it all the time with kids, especially, you know, when you're 16 and 15 years old, you don't think of stuff like this. And, I mean, we're not far out of that age group. I mean, we're barely in our 20s. So, I mean, and you know, I can understand when I was 16 years old, you know, tweeting something saying this is not going to affect me. But, you know, if you're a recruit and it's something stupid, it's going to come back and affect you in some way.
Yeah. If you have to second guess hitting that button to send or like or retweet, then it's probably something you shouldn't put out there. Because from, you know, our perspective as a program, if they put it out there now, what might they say when they're part of our program? And now once they're part of our program, it's going to say, you know, player A, FDU football. So mm-hmm. everything that they do is going to come back to our program. You know, we want to, you know, represent at a high level. And again, we want guys that are going to have great character, that are going to live our core values as a program. So that's kind of the perspective we take it from.
Yeah. All right. So now moving into some FDU specific stuff, give me two guys on offense and two guys on defense that you're really excited to see play this season for you.
Oh, that's a great question. Offensively, probably the first one offensively, we have one of our captains from last year, Dylan Gonzalez, was a junior captain for us last year, but then suffered a season-ending injury this year or last year, so missed, you know, the last 8 games of the season. You know, so as a junior captain, it was highly disappointing for him that he missed all that, and obviously, you know, upsetting for him and for us as a program, you know, hate to see that happen. So definitely excited to see him back now. As a senior captain for us, he's a kid that's going to be a 4-year starter on the offensive line, and play every position on the offensive line. So again, excited to see him return now because I know all the work he's put in day in and day out, you know, throughout his career, you know, especially coming back from that injury, which was a foot injury, you know, excited to now see him in action. Also then on offense, we have another guy that's actually coming off of an injury, but our quarterback last year, Anthony Caserta. This was a kid who transferred into our program last year as a junior, started the first 8 games of the season, was on pace to shatter some school records passing-wise for us as a program, and then broke his hand in week 8, so missed the last, you know, 2.5 games of the season, and still finished, I think, 3rd in school history in passing yards. So, you know, he was really prolific in our offense. You know, we throw the ball a lot. We're an air raid style, up-tempo system, so excited to see him now come off that injury and, you know, second year in our system, he's just so much more comfortable now in the system that excited to see the step he can take forward from that perspective as well. You know, again, then a ton of other guys on offense that we have returning. We have about 9 or 10 starters on offense returning, so super excited to see all them, you know, come back and make it happen. Defensively, we lost a little bit more on defense from a upper class perspective, but definitely have some guys that we're super excited to see in action this year. One of them, we have Jake Swindaz. This is a kid that really plays multiple positions for us. Played in the secondary, gets down in the box when we roll safeties down. So really, it's his versatility, both from a physical and mental perspective, that, you know, really excited to now see him take the next step. And this kid, he'll be a junior for us from Steinert, New Jersey, and excited now as an upperclassman to see the leaps he's going to take forward, you know, in our defensive system. And then another guy on the defensive side of the ball. This is another guy that's a big time leader for us on the defensive line. His name is Dione DeLone. He's an edge rusher for us, defensive end. He'll also be a junior. But he really took a huge step forward this offseason from a leadership perspective, and now excited to see him, you know, come into play on the field now. Again, he's dynamic on the edge, long, athletic-type DN that, you know, in a one-on-one situation, you know, I'll take our chances with him winning that battle. And, again, all the things he's done this offseason to improve physically, now really excited to see him take that next step forward as well.
Yeah, so that's interesting because it seems like you had a lot of guys hurt on the offensive side of the ball, but returning a lot of starters. And I was reading some things about you, and you seem very offensive oriented. So it's interesting that you're an air raid because it takes a lot to be an air raid offense.
Yeah, offensively, we're air raid style system. A lot of RPOs, up tempo, no huddle, and yeah, we have, you know, 9, even 10 starters returning, you know, based on guys that started multiple games last year with some injuries. So excited with all of them returning. But we were pretty good as an offense last year. We were number one total offense in the MAC, number one pass offense, number 9 pass offense in the nation at Division III. But excited to now take that next step forward. You know, we have a lot of guys that are putting in the work this offseason, because at the end of the day, it's going to come down to wins and losses. And that's what we're looking to do as a program.
Yeah. So I had one other. Oh, so who is like your rival in the MAC? Because I don't know much about the conference, but I mean, you guys are like really local. I think FDU is like 25 minutes away.
Yeah. So we're located in Madison, New Jersey, which is 35 miles outside New York City. And for anyone listening, we're right across the street from the New York Jets practice facility. If anyone's ever been to that Madison Florham Park area in New Jersey. So beautiful, beautiful area. Great location. As far as the MAC, I don't know if we really have a rival in conference, to be completely honest. And the reason being is we're the only New Jersey school in the conference right now for that plays football. Then you have 9 schools in Pennsylvania and then 1 school down in that Baltimore, Maryland area. So I don't know, although we're geographically all close and regional, I don't know if we have a true, hey, this is our rival. You know, it's great competition and a lot of parity amongst the league with all of our competition. But I don't know if we have a rival per se.
Okay. Yeah, does that make sense? Because there's no like real geographical rival. It's kind of hard to start one.
Right, right. Yeah, there's a couple of those in conference of teams that are in the same town even, you know, or same city. So there's a couple of those within the conference, but we're a little bit different of the football playing schools within the conference.
For sure. All right, so I'm not sure if we have anything else. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Maybe something that bring up?
No, I appreciate you guys having me on. You know, we're excited for the season this year, taking it one day at a time. And, you know, we tell our guys all the time to just do everything with a CEO mentality. You know, we say that CEOs are CEOs because everything they do is at that CEO level. So we're excited to just keep operating at that level, keep, you know, living daily our fast 5-star, you know, system of success, and excited to get ready going for the 2020 season.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely, Coach Shipp.
Thank you for coming on. I hope we can get out to a game this season.
Awesome. Yeah. Appreciate it. You guys are welcome on campus anytime, and, you know, look forward to joining you guys again soon.
Absolutely. Yep. Stay safe, Coach, and best of luck this year.
You too. Stay well, guys. Thanks again.
No problem.
All right, guys, so that was Jim Robertson. First year coach FDU kind of got put into I wouldn't even say a unique situation, because this is just a crazy situation. So we talked about navigating that with his guys. So we also have another little interview for you guys. Keenan Harris, he is a JUCO player in the the Minnesota Football Conference out there?
Yeah, the Minnesota JUCO Conference.
Yeah, so it's a Minnesota JUCO. They just canceled their season, so we had him on in a quickie just to see what his thoughts were on everything getting canceled. So we'll catch you guys on the other side of the surprise second interview.
All right, so now we welcome on JUCO defensive back Keenan Harris. Keenan, welcome on.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, some pretty big news with JUCO lately. I believe where you play, you're not having a season as of now, right?
Correct.
So, what's your plans and, like, what was your original reaction to that?
Well, when I first found out the news about our season getting canceled, it kind of really didn't hit me at first because it really didn't seem real, mm-hmm. you know, but that whole day, I cried about 12 times that day, so... It was like, it couldn't have been real because JUCO, you know, it helps a lot of people out, like a person mm-hmm. like me, you know, so it couldn't have been real, but it happened.
Yeah, so do you want to talk about, you know, how did you end up at a JUCO? Because I know me and you talked about it a little bit in our DMs, and you said it's been a few years.
Yeah, pretty much. So... I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan, but I spent half my life in Alabama. I went mm-hmm. to Muscle Shoals High School where I was a Trojan. I started playing football there in my 10th grade year. And after my junior year, I had left and went back home after a couple of issues I had going on due to household mm-hmm. issues. I ended up going back home to Michigan to go ahead and play for Detroit Denby High School in Detroit, Michigan. And I ended up winning the championship there, you know, and I got me a little attention because my sophomore and junior year, I didn't really get a chance to play. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then the things had happened. So I got a chance to go ahead and get a little bit of attention. Then I got in contact with Coach Gow at Minnesota West. And, you know, me and him had we had a good relationship going on throughout my process. So I originally graduated with the class of 2017 at high school. But I didn't start playing football in college till this past fall due to, one, because of I couldn't get my FAFSA information to go in correctly, and two, that I couldn't afford to have health care at the time, at one point in time in my career mm-hmm. and life. So it was like, things was just breaking down part, and it just took me step by step to go ahead and get to where I needed to be, you know?
Yeah, well, that's like one of the interesting things to think about JUCO is a lot of people take different routes to get there. I mean, a lot of people are there for different reasons. You know, a lot of people think like, they watched Last Chance U one time and they think everyone there's a criminal or everyone's at JUCO because they don't have the grades to go D1. But really, there's just a lot of things that go into it and everyone's there for different reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, it's many different reasons. Everyone has a different story. You know, everybody makes mistakes in their life, you know. I made some mistakes in my life before I even got a chance to go back to school. And the more I had made mistakes, it didn't do nothing but made me have a closer relationship with God and made me want to go to school even more, you know, because I knew that, you know, that this was for me. You know, this mm-hmm. God gave me this talent to go ahead and do this and give myself a better opportunity in life to get a great job.
Mm-hmm. All right. Talk yourself up a little bit. What's like the grind of a JUCO athlete? Like, what's like a normal day for you?
It just depends on what you mean, because you had Division One, Division Two, and Division Three JUCOs. The JUCO mm-hmm. I go to is a non-scholarship JUCO. Mm-hmm. So pretty much is with us. We pretty much go to campus, go to school, have our classes like a normal JUCO, normal student athlete would, you know. As far as scholarships, we don't have scholarships. Financial aid, hopefully, we'll go ahead and pay for most of that. But, you know, you may have to take a loan out here and there. But, you know, mm-hmm. it's just normal student athlete life, you know, just that to...
Yeah, but I want to know, like, what's, like, a day like for you, though? Like, how's, like, what's your schedule, like, from when you wake up to, like a day where you have practice, class, work?
Okay, but pretty much, I say an average day for me, I wake up about 6, you know, get up, get to the gym, get to our weight room about 7, work out to about 7:30 because I have a class about 8:30. you know, probably get a run in quickly if, you know, give myself time to shower. I maybe have 3 classes to go attend to throughout the day, just depending on if it's like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because some classes you don't have to show up to every day.
Yeah. So I go to a community college too, so I know. Don't worry.
Yeah. Stuff like that. But, and then it could get tiring though, because depending on what classes you take in, it's like how long the classes is, and then the type of class it is, it can really just, you know, lock you in. It can really lock you in mentally and get you tired, because you have to make sure you keep your grades up to be a student athlete. Because, you know, coming out of JUCO, they want you to have the best grades possible, because it really is our last chance, you know. So there's really no room for error.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what's your goal after JUCO? Like, I mean, do you want to, like, move up to, like, D2, D1, like, anything, or?
I plan to go D1, Division II. I'm really open to Division I, Division II. I'm not knocking Division III or NAIA. I'm open to Division III and NAIA, but, you know, I will really hold out first between Division I and Division II. But I'm pretty open to everything. I really want the education and all. Pretty much if it's going to get paid for, you know, they're going to go ahead and give me the scholarship to make sure my books paid for and housing good, you know, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, so how about this? Not to knock anyone, but we had someone on. The episode never came out because I just kind of felt weird after. But this kid, he was a JUCO kid, and we DM'd some of the coaches that we follow, because we talk to a lot of coaches that follow us. And we got 2 scholarship offer from JUCO. And he decided to stay at a JUCO and not go.
Well, I don't know. I can't really speak on that situation, because maybe he felt like he just needed to do what he had to do. You know, everybody makes their choice when they decide to leave or stay at a school, you know.
Oh, for sure. And like I said, everyone's different. Like, you got family that it's not easy to up and leave. Like,
right.
Know. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I didn't really think of that at the time, but it was just weird. He was saying he wanted an offer, and then we got him an offer, and he was like, nah, it's D2. I don't want to go there. And we were like, you're at a community college. Like, it's better.
Yeah, anything is better than, you know, going ahead and, like, just staying at the JUCO, or not even really just staying at the JUCO. It's continuing playing football. You know, football is going to keep you in school to get that education that you know you want, because that's the whole purpose, is student athlete for a reason.
All right, so your actual season. Last season, you said you played 6 games. What do you think your favorite moment from last season was for yourself? Like, your highlight.
My favorite moment, I want to say overall, on my birthday, October 5th, I had a football game. We played Dakota College of Botany. And, you know, the whole game, the whole moment, it was like, you know, like I said, I haven't played football since 2016. I set out the game 2 years, and I finally got a chance to get back on the field. And when I played on my birthday, you know, and I really got back into the routines and playing and developing myself, it was like, you know, just the whole day, the whole game we won, and just like the whole feeling, it was just amazing. Like, I just never really, you know, I never lost faith, but I never really could see the whole imagine of me just playing again, you know, for it to be on my birthday. It was just amazing.
Did you guys win?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
All right. I was hoping there was a happy ending to that. Like, I didn't want you to be like, well, we got blown out. Like,
oh, no, we didn't get blown out. We won. It was a home game. We won. We had a great crowd, yeah.
All right, that's good. All right, so I got probably 2 or 3 more questions, and then we could wrap it up. One, I want you to tell me, you know, put some of the guys on. Tell me, you know, what 1 or 2 of your teammates that aren't getting enough recognition.
Oh, oh man, that's gonna be hard to go ahead and say.
All right, we can give you 3. We'll give you 3.
So, let me say this. Can they be all defense? Can they be all defense?
Yeah, all right. We'll exclude the offense.
Okay.
Because defense wins games. Offense is kind of just there to make sure you don't lose games.
Defense, we're going to win the championships. But we're going to go. I'm going to go ahead and Quay Hooks, defensive back. You know, That's he was a all-conference player last year. You know, I kind of really feel like he was really underrated because of size. You know, a DB is under 6 foot. I kind of feel like we underrated. You know, I kind of feel like, and then like I said, we not a scholarship JUCO, and you know, a lot of Division One and Division Two schools don't really look at that are like the Minnesota Conference JUCO as of like, you know, we're not as good as like the other JUCOs. Like, that's just in my opinion at least, you know.
So you think you're overlooked because you're not like the Kansas JUCOs.
I feel like our conference, I'm gonna say that. I put a stamp on that. Our conference is overlooked. We had some really great players in our conference, and we had some players that had some top stats. And I can tell you right now, Antoine Strawberry from Itasca, the wide receiver, he had some really good stats, and he really proved himself when I seen him play in our first game of the season. We really do have some good players out there in our conference. But I'm gonna get back to the defense. I just threw a little something out there. I'm gonna go ahead and say Brandon Wagner. I'm gonna go ahead and say him. He's our defensive tackle. He could play edge rusher, anything on the D line. You know, he can go ahead and do it. He was a all conference player. He was potential to me. I feel like he was potential All American, and he was a freshman. Both of them people I said was freshmen.
This season.
And last but not least, I'm going to go ahead and say my main man's Duffy, free safety. He was a freshman when we first came out the spring. You know, he really showed out some athleticism, and coming in as a freshman, he really put his foot down, you know, showing his leadership and showing how good he could play the game. He really showed experience.
All right, that's good. Yeah, I always like to give guys, like, even we have high school recruits on, just like, so I feel like sometimes, like, the best players on the team maybe show their personality or just get overlooked sometimes.
Yeah. It's pretty much for me, I just feel like they just get, we're getting overlooked. That's all because of where we're playing. Because the state of Minnesota, it doesn't get recruited a lot. Like, you can go on Twitter and you can see Division One, Division Two coaches, and most of them, or D3 or NAIA, most of them, you're not going to see any of them saying set recruiting to the state of Minnesota. So it's really hard for us to really get recruited out of the state of Minnesota, because you really don't hear no names from out the state of Minnesota. But when it comes down to us playing against each other, you know, we knock each other off, and we have to see who's the best to play against the best in the other conferences, stuff like that.
For sure, for sure. All right, so the last question here, we're going to end it on a light note because, you know, some of these questions were a little deep. You know, what is your pregame playlist like right now?
Pregame playlist? I'm gonna go ahead and say Rod Wave, Rag to Riches, and then from last season, I'm gonna go ahead and take the song Quavo, and what was it? Quavo? No, it wasn't Quavo. It was Lil Baby and DaBaby. Baby, that's the song.
Yeah. Lil Baby's fire.
Yeah, I mess with him, man. He the GOAT. I ain't gonna lie. He the GOAT in the game right now. Music for me right now.
All right, Kenyon, we appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come on and talk about, you know, wife is Minnesota JUCO, and you know, everything's been you. Anything else you want to say?
I just want to go ahead and give a shout out to my whole coaching staff back at Minnesota West, the whole school of Minnesota West, the whole MCAC conference, for even giving me a chance to even come back and play the game of football again, the NJCAA. I want to give a shout out to all the teams in the FCAC, all the teams that we played against, for giving me a good season. Thank God for even allowing me to get a chance to play the game again, you know.
All right. So, again, thank you for coming on, and you know, maybe we'll have you back on when things are better.
Oh yeah, most definitely. We're gonna fight this.
All right, guys, that was Keenan Harris. Just talked about the cancellation of his season and everything. You know, next couple of weeks, we'll probably find out. Next time, we'll put out a podcast. Hopefully, we have some better news for you guys regarding the season. But until we catch you guys next time, obviously, stay safe, guys. Hopefully, we have some better news, and we will see you guys next week.